We acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. This is Cheryl from Dja-Dja-Wurrung country.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 182 of the Beyond 90 podcast, Australia's longest running women's football pod. We're all exhausted after the first ever A-Leagues Unite round, but we're pushing through here on a Monday night to talk about the world of Australian women's football for you. Eric Subihano, of course, here, and we've got the usual quartet, Emma Burke, Magella Cart, and Dale Roots. Firstly, I think directing this at Madge and Dale, a bit of a rare one because we were together at Leichhardt Oval on Friday and Saturday. It along with many, many other dub fanatics from across Australia and New Zealand. And it was lovely.
It's very nice. It was like a little mini World Cup vibe.
Yes.
Yeah. I agree. There was a lot of unity in the air.
Mm-hmm.
I felt very united, to turn a phrase from Cool Runnings. it was great. It was no negative vibes at all. Good vibes only. Had a wonderful time. It's great to see the both of you. One I obviously see much more regular than the other, but it was good to sit down and have a beverage with the Raw Corps and their associated others.
Yes, Victory Vikings, Quarter of Yellow, some Perth Glory fans. It was it's wonderful. And I think I got a message from a mate on the Saturday, and he told me, the vibe seems so much better at Leichhardt than it does at Parramatta. And I just said, yeah, that's because we all like each other.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Well, I mean, yeah. We definitely haven't come to blows physically just yet. So
no.
I feel like that's a good place to start.
Yes, yeah.
There were things happening in the car park, but that just involved eating the food that we couldn't get into the stadium.
Yeah.
Just sharing food in the car park.
It's time to dump. I mean, I will address you in a moment, Emma, but that reminds me of my friend of the pod, Samantha Lewis, had a story. Her partner ordered a pizza, went out to get it, and was promptly told she could not bring it back into Leichhardt Oval because of the cardboard box. So
she could have brought it back in if it was in plastic, but because it was in a cardboard box, they couldn't bring the pizza in.
So they just ate it as quick as they could, basically.
Imagine then two people just coming back into the grandstand or like into the stadium just with a piece of pizza in each hand, just like a normal day, just like nothing ever happened.
It's very
strange.
I mean, walking to a grand, eating a piece of pizza, that's a normal day for me, so I don't understand.
Yeah. That
alternatively, you could have gone to the park where there was a fun little, I don't know what you call them. What are those things where you stand on and they just go in a circle?
Oh, like a little whirly kind of
the whirly
thing.
The whirly thing. Just sit on there. It was lovely. We had timed it for nicely between the two games, so miss out on any football.
Yes. Anyway, Emma should actually address you because you had some double screening shenanigans on the Sunday that we'll get to later on. But, what was the Unite Ryan vibe for you watching it at home?
Well, I did see some of the games. I didn't see other games because I was out for a 25th birthday touring some wineries in Yarra Valley.
Okay.
And Four Pillars Gin place as well. So it was very nice. But I did see the 100th Heyman goal on the bus home. I was with my little phone on this little bus and jostling around on the way back. But I got it. So that's what matters.
Yes. And we're going to discuss the weekend's action in just a bit. But before that, Matilda's cap 182, very familiar to most of us, I'm sure. Emily Gielnick, Matilda's debut in 2012. Shout out to her grassroots club, Redlands United. 56 caps for 11 goals, and her position was a forward, not just a forward, not just any forward, but a really tall forward who could probably score from at or near the corner flag if she put her mind to it. She's a dub centurion, is she not?
She is?
Yeah, she is. Yep, thought so.
I painted a banner.
Yes. That's that's the inside information we're looking for, Madge. Yes. But just looking, yeah, of course, a very extensive club career. No, most notably associated with Brisbane Roar, current Melbourne Victory player, but also stints, what, Liverpool, Ottawa Fury, Uro Red Diamonds, Avaldsnes in Norway, Bayern Munich, a couple of spells at Vitsa in Sweden, including one, I think, where she basically saved them from relegation, and Aston Villa. So I think she is a Queenslander, although Wikipedia says she was born in Melbourne. I'm going to throw this one to you first, Madge.
Yeah, I think the immediate thought that comes to mind is early in her career just being an absolute super sub for the Brisbane Roar. It just seemed like you'd sub her on and we get a goal. So I think 42 goals for the Brisbane Roar, I think 46 by the looks, all up in her dub career. Yeah, just really prolific for the Roar. And just seeing her evolve from being that sort of super sub player to becoming a really sort of a really mature sort of veteran player of the league, those experiences overseas. I think she's worked really hard her entire career, you know, on her fitness, but also just that her game awareness and really improving the different parts of her game to make herself sort of, more versatile, working on the smarts of the game as well. Not just being a strong, powerful player who sort of terrorizes wilting defenses late in the game, but yeah, really becoming a first pick in later in her career in the dub. So yeah, really great player, and she also just seems like really good vibes around any club that she's in. So she you always hear players talking about that. She's good fun to have around in the locker room, and always making people laugh. And never have heard anything sort of bad about her. So yeah, just great player, great personality.
Yep. And I think next I'll throw to Emma, because of course she has spent time in your home city as well. But I think, yeah, it's good that, you know, she's developed from just being a big and fast, although we like players that are big and fast anyway, but it's good that she's added stuff to her game.
Yeah, I was going to say that's my like recollection of Gilnick as Shreddum. But yeah, it's been a bit of a shame that her body kind of hasn't been able to keep up with her, because she's been kind of hampered by injuries these last couple of years. But yeah, no, it's always fun seeing her get subbed on. So I was like, oh, Shreddum's coming on. Good luck, defenders, because she's going to run you over. Mm-hmm. And she will. Yeah, but hopefully she came on for Victory Unite round. So hopefully she can build up from here and we don't see any more injuries for her, because it's just such a shame.
And Dale, do you have anything else to add about Emily?
No, not really. Covered both bases, I think. She was one of the tallest players at the last World Cup in 2019. And yet somehow is, like, she has this very strange combination of being extremely fast, extremely powerful, but also 6 foot tall. Which is a pretty deadly combination when you consider that she plays on the wing for most of the time. But yeah, she's always been a great player for the Matildas. And as Em said, yeah, it's just a shame that her body's kind of not holding up. She's still only 31. So, I mean, there's still plenty of running left in those legs, but you have to consider that she's been playing at the dub level since she was only like 17. So, yeah, plenty of, hopefully plenty more games in those legs.
Yeah. And I think, in relation to her being unusually tall for a winger, I remember once while volunteering with the Wanderers in a game against Brisbane. I mean, we were down Brisbane's end watching them warm up, and then the game started and people near me were surprised that she was a winger, not a centre back. Sounds about right. I imagine that happened quite a bit for the first time.
Yeah, I have very good memories of her, I believe, playing on the same side as Ellie Carpenter in that game against Brazil. I feel like she started on the right hand side with Carpenter, and they're just absolutely no defensive track back. it was all go forward, and yeah. You know, to hell with the consequences. But yeah, she's definitely one of the good ones. I think you're exactly right, Madge.
She's also one of those players where, just because she's tall, a lot of people think, oh, you just put her central, and you know, surely she can just head the ball in. But one of the, yeah, not not brilliant with her head, very much.
No.
I don't know. I don't have the stats in front of me, but most of those goals have definitely come off of like, yeah, cutting in from the wing and like just banging it in on tight angles and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so,
her and Emily Van Egmond cut from the same cloth in terms of being very tall and very bad at heading the ball.
Yes. It's yes. And I remember was a game she was playing for Aston Villa. She was played at centre forward and they kept firing the ball to her, and I was thinking, No. This is not the way.
Different kind of player.
Please
gotta
stop
play
this
to
right
her
now.
Feet.
Yep. Yep. And then she rinses the fullback we get from there. And also, yeah, like also along to that point, it's very unusual for someone that tall to be very obviously better at whipping in the wide free kick or the corner than being in the middle, but can, as we said earlier, can really curl a ball very well. So, yep, hopefully there's plenty more great football still to come from Emily Gilnick. Now, and obviously this is the hottest topic of the round, so let's get to it. First ever A-League's Unite round. Now, of course, all men's and women's games played in Sydney at the same time, but where we only care about the women's games, at least on this podcast. Let's start with the Friday double header, and Melbourne Victory 1, Perth Glory 1. So, Emma, you actually wrote about this for Impetus, so I suppose I'll go to you first. Also, I was already quite drunk by the time the game started, so it shouldn't be me.
Your honesty is refreshing.
I'd like to hear from you about this one, actually, now that you've said this. No, the game was, it was good. There was nothing really to separate them. Goals came from Rachel Lowe and Hannah Lowry. And was it an Olympico? Was it not an Olympico? Officially,
it's
no.
An own goal, yeah.
Officially, it was marked as an own goal for, unfortunately, Jamila Rankin, who provided a gorgeous assist for the Rachel Lowe goal. But I want to claim the goal for Hannah Lowry. I want it to be Laulimpico. That's where I'm going with it. Laulimpico. But yeah, no, it was a decent game. I think Victory probably should have come on top. They had like nearly twice as many shots as Perth did, and many more shots on target than Perth did. But yeah, overall it was a good watch. I felt they were very evenly matched, even though Victory is now eighth on the ladder and Perth is still up in second. So,
I mean, Victory are eighth, but they also within touching distance of third and fourth. So we might discuss the ladder a bit later on. It's in the show notes, but that's quite the logjam in the middle of the table. In fact, the middle of the table is pretty much almost the whole table, if that makes sense. It'll make sense when you look at it. Yes, as to the game day experience for us and Madge, of course, we started that at the lovely Orange Grove Hotel nearby. So pre-match drinks, Victory Vikings,
Newcastle Rourke, people there as
Newcastle
well.
Newcastle people, Perth Glory, Corner of Yellow. And so, yeah, this is just a very unique, very lovely experience that we're all like kind of getting along, like fans from multiple clubs and providing a very nice vibe. As for the game, I mean, I don't know. As we know, I like players scoring against their old clubs. I'm not sure how Jamila Rankin scoring an own goal against Brisbane fits into that, but you know, it's just one of those things. And you know, yeah, I think Emma's right. Credit to Hannah Lowry for whipping that ball in. That's basically what happens. You put defenders under pressure. Sometimes stuff like that happens if you put it in the right
spot.
Can't win the
raffle if you don't buy a ticket, Matt.
It is one of my favorite sayings. Yes. Got a bit blank here, but it's just well, this might as well address this now. Like the time of year that held Unite Round, I think it's affected, at least it affected the five games that I watched in terms of perhaps the pace of the game. Some of the games needed drinks breaks. And yeah, it's if you're really keen to put on sunscreen at the start of the game, then it's probably a hint as to how the game is going to be played. So perhaps for next year, I've heard quite a few people on Twitter say it should be pre-season or early season instead to kind of get more favorable weather. And then that would also unlock more time slots, because then potentially you can play a game before 5 o'clock. But
yeah. I was thinking about that today, because like the weather in Sydney yesterday or Saturday night and today were shocking. And like they were, the A-Leagues were lucky that the Leichhardt game was not rained out, because that rain on Saturday night came probably half an hour after the game finished.
In the Uber home it came out.
I was on the tram back to the city, and it was howling down.
Yeah. But even it was like, obviously compared to the Friday, I think the wet bulb must have hit whatever its threshold was, because I mean it was still sort of after five, of course, the games, but they had the actual designated drinks breaks, which I don't think they had on the Friday, or I don't remember them having them on the Friday. And look, I was drumming for the Brisbane game, and we were like looking at the humidity was not great on Saturday. So thankfully they were at night time, sort of out away from the sun, but they still were pretty oppressive conditions. So
the players were very slick looking.
Under
the floodlights.
Yeah, and I think both games sort of like the players had that sort of that lovely summer end of a 90 minutes of football vibe about them. Yeah, there's the passes and the play all just getting a little bit sloppier than you'd like to see. So absolutely, I think earlier in the season might be something for the leagues to consider in the future.
Okay, the second game on Friday, Wellington 1, Central Coast Mariners 2. And obviously, as the president of the Mackenzie Barry Fan Club, I sat with the Wellington fans. We loved the first 3 minutes, and the other 87, not so good. But it was actually good to see another goal from Emma Main. The main train left the station again, and we got to see the greatest gif in sports media posted by Wellington Phoenix. But yeah, just... once again, Emily Husband getting it done against Wellington. I thought she's, as in the game at Gosford, she set the Mariners up really well. Rolla Bartawea looks to be settling in to the A-League nicely. It was a really nice goal. And also Peter Trimis, who I heard at the start of the season was on a scholarship contract. That surely has got to get upgraded. I think it gets automatically upgraded after a certain number of appearances.
I think she's got to play five games before she gets automatically upgraded, but then it also starts to affect the salary cap, if I recall correctly.
Yeah. Okay, so, well, I mean, they...
Might get that way, you will.
They've just got to fork it out, surely, because, I mean, it's actually... If you'd watched Peter play NPL New South Wales, her being a scholarship contract is a bit of a surprise in the first place.
I mean, Central Coast not short of a quid at the moment after selling half their team last season, so...
Yes, that's good. Actually, that's the way... I like that idea that we... The clubs develop men's talents, they cash in on them, and then that money goes straight to the dub. I think that's the way the flow of funding should go.
It's like
that's
the trickle down effect. Magic beans, you know? Yes. If you sell the cow, you get the beans for a good price, and then you get to climb up into the sky.
Yep. Also, of course, with the seating arrangements, well, then not being any seating arrangements as such. The seating is kind. Arrangements also kind for Leichhardt Oval, but we did end up with Wellington fans and Mariners fans at the same end of the ground. And perhaps my favorite moment of the evening, Wellington fans chanting, "You're just the wrong shade of yellow," and the Mariners fans was very good. Also, I think Wellington will count themselves a bit unlucky not to score from a rather bizarre goal mouth scramble in the second half, where, you know, one of those ones where it seemed like there was a force field on the goal. But I think other than that, Mariners, good enough. I think pretty good value for the 3 points. And, you know, they're in the mid-table mix, just like two-thirds of the league. We've delayed this long enough. Let's go to the Saturday game. Canberra 3, Adelaide 1. But way more importantly, Michelle Heyman's 100th and 101st dub goals.
How Dale, good.
Please, the floor is yours.
It took us long enough to get here, but yeah, look. The first ever A-League Women's Centurion goal scorer. Fantastic achievement. I think this has been a long time coming. Obviously, when Michelle Heyman left Canberra a few years ago now, I think that we had all kind of waved that ship off into the sunset, to be honest. But as soon as she came back, yeah, she's just been chucking them in. And both of these goals were very well constructed, very, very Michelle Heyman Canberra goals, I feel. And yeah, I think it was a pretty, I mean, in all, I think I said this to you on the day, Eric, but it was when you play park footy and you kind of turn revenue team up and say, they don't want it. Adelaide really just didn't want it in this game. As soon as Canberra scored the first one, I feel like there was a set, like they were decent in the first half. They had enough opportunities. Chloe Lincoln made some good saves, but as soon as Heyman scored that second, that first goal, it was just, they went, they collapsed like a house of cards, unfortunately.
Yeah. I hope Michelle Heyman's neck is okay after how much she had to twist it to score the her second goal. Cause, that cross was at Flannery, I think, had gently floating it towards her, and she's put everything into that to get it past the very tall Annie Grove in the Adelaide goal. I think you're right. Adelaide just it was an odd pattern of play in the second half for them to come storming out of the blocks and take the lead. And shout out to friend of the pod, Lockie. Very delighted to see College Matilda Isabel Hodgson get on the score sheet. But then, yeah, that was really much it. Pretty much it for Adelaide. Also, I mean, another Vesna Milivojevic banger with the third goal. Just, yeah, weaker left foot, but, I mean, she's got two good feet, it seems. So,
well, she's leading the Golden Boot race now, and Canberra's second last.
Yes. Oh, yes. How's that? I mean, I might have to look at... Did we discuss this last week? Where they're second top scorers and also, well, they were last at the time.
Yeah.
Yep. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
It was also very nice of Michelle to wait until the second half so that she could score in front of the little bunch of Dub fans who had all gathered. Dub fans, yes. We were all very excited again. Yes. It was a perfect celebration for Unite Round, I think. I think everyone wanted to see Michelle sort of get that milestone. Mm. Of course, now everyone's saying that the Golden Boot should be named after Michelle Heyman as soon as she retires for good, but that may not be anytime soon.
Yes.
But surely that's got to be pretty much etched on the trophy for future years. That should be the naming rights for that trophy for a long time to come. It was also great. Some of the Jets fans brought along a little banner.
That's right. The one with the two green hearts. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. 100 with the, and then they quickly had to put on 101 onto the last the last heart. And then, of course, the Phoenix fans had done up a plaque for her. So lots of love from all around the Dub for a great achievement.
Mm. I'm just having a quick look. The point that you were making earlier, Eric, about Canberra having the second most goals in the league, still like obviously still five behind Melbourne City, but I'm just looking, Canberra seemingly only scoring bangers because they have 10 more goals than they do XG. And Milivojevic's goal on the weekend, according to footballreference.com, thank you to footballreference.com for all of your football reference needs, 0.05% XG or 0.05 XG. So like left foot, 25 yards out, banger. Canberra only score good goals.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think both in keeping it around and at least I think the way we generally like to watch football, they're there to provide vibes and entertainment.
Yeah.
We don't want the pressure of chasing results and whatnot. It's just, we're here for a good time and Canberra providing a good time. So well done to you, Canberra.
Canberra are the under eights non-competitive team of the league, but you are definitely counting how many goals they score every week.
Oh yeah. Yes. And then I mean after the Heyman milestone, decent crowds stuck around and perhaps even more people came in for Brisbane Roar 1, Newcastle Jets 2. So yes, I think, I mean, sort of a few key events. Imagine the other Brisbane Roar fans were at the opposite end to the Holly McQueen red card. But at least going for you first match, how did you see the game?
Well, I was at the wrong end to sort of have it. I saw the challenge and I went, oh, okay, that might be a foul. So it looks kind of body to body, but like, fine, it was a foul. And then it was like, oh, was she last defender? I mean, looking back at the replay, look, fine. Even for a foul, I think it's fairly soft, but the red card is baffling. So I think the Roar have just announced that they will be appealing that decision, which one would hope that will at least reverse the red card and ensure that McQueen isn't suspended for next week. I find it pretty hard to get too worked up. It's like, I'm just, crap decisions happen. Just got to move on with life. But it was a crap decision and it did sort of change the momentum of the game. Although Brisbane, like, they didn't really sit back. I thought, you know, perhaps that, you know, they might try and settle in, especially so the Jets, of course, scored very soon after the red card. But then when Brisbane hit back immediately through Mia Corbin, I was wondering, will we just sit back and sort of, you know, try and keep the draw? But then, you know, Jets went ahead again. But yeah, the game was still sort of open and attacking. It was pretty niggly sort of across the park as well. So I think that's pretty common between these two teams as well. So yeah, disappointing result for Brisbane, but you know, I think there's still some, there were still some great opportunities as well throughout the game. So a disappointing one to that, I think, just to forget and just keep moving forward for Brisbane. But then for the Jets, I mean, I think, like I said last week or the week before, like, they've sort of sneakily gotten themselves sort of back up the table now, and they're in a, you know, fairly good position going to the second half of the season. Although I'm sure we might get to it, but with Gary Van Egmond's now, of course, has just been announced as leaving. So I'm not sure how that might change their momentum going into the second half of the season. But yeah, it's an interesting setup in that midfield table going forward. And probably the only other thing out of the game that was, hopefully, Leah Scarpelli seemed to, yeah, I'm not sure, sort of do some sort of injury, and I hope that's not too serious. She was sort of like immediately out the back after the game. So it looked like it could even be like a little bit of whiplash or something when she sort of hit the ground pretty hard early in the game. So yeah, disappointing, but had fun banging the drum.
Yes, we enjoyed listening to you bang the drum. love hearing it echo around the Sydney's inner west. Yeah. So Dale and I are getting quite rowdy on the hill by this stage. I mean,
oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
We're screaming for cards, for the card when when that Holly McQueen foul happened, and then we were all shocked when it was a red. It's like, we weren't shouting for that.
I cannot believe that was given as a red. cannot believe it. Yeah, look, definitely not the worst decision I've seen in the dub, but it was not a good one. I think we're all missing we've buried the lead here. Cass Davis back heel nutmeg assist for the Jenna McCormick into Serena Bolden goal. Assist of the season, question mark. Yes. Let the judge decide. I thought Brisbane were good for points here, to be perfectly honest, and they probably deserved one. The Yallop own goals just seemed so unfair.
We were saying before the pod, it's like, that was probably going on target. And I thought, if a goal's going on target and there's a deflection, usually it's still given to the attacking player. Yeah. They hit the
ball. Why is it not a Mini Barbieri Olympico?
It should be.
Imagine asking the good questions.
And that's doing Tamika dirty in her 150th game as well, giving her an own goal.
I'm
fully on board. So Mindy Barbieri's goal was really good then.
On board.
It's really great to see an Olympico in Unite round. It's what the people want.
Olympicos, actually, because of course Hannah Lowry. So of course goes in 2 days. Yeah.
As you mentioned though, like, Newcastle sneaky good, and after being after being so poor for so long, they've just like, they've really kind of found, I mean, it doesn't hurt that they've got, you know, an international goal scorer now, kind of doing the hard yards, but yeah, they're fun to watch. I won't go so far as to say they play good football, but they're definitely fun to watch. And that yes. is, again, a very vibes-based argument, but that's okay.
Yes. Of course, so something for all parts of my persona with Irish international, Deborah Ndelhaar playing for Brisbane, and then Serena Bolden scoring. So I, quick change of equipment, got a post-match selfies with Serena Bolden and Claudia Chicco from the Jets. I'm very, very happy about that. Although Claudia asked me if I was going to be wearing my Chicco jersey for next week when Sydney play the Jets at Leichhardt. I said, well, I also have this Tumuth jersey, and my goodness, the look she gave me is as terrifying as her tackling. So, I mean, now I'm, if I'm not on the next podcast, you know why.
Yeah, it was, speaking of, it was good to see, good to once again meet Mr. Chicco. Although he does look like he's in witness protection. I had no idea who this man that you were talking to was until you pointed it out. A big shout out to Alex Chicco.
Yes. And well done once again to the extended Chicco clan for like turning up in their dozens. Yes, dozens. Mm. To support Claudia and the Jets.
Not too far to go, but yeah, it was good.
Yeah. Yep. But yes, and I thought Claudia, like as usual, like very hard to get past. So she's settling in well, right back for the Jets. Now on to Sunday and Emma's double screening adventure. So she can do this in whatever order she wants. Western Sydney Wanderers 1, Melbourne City 0, and also Western United 0, Sydney FC 1. Where would you like to start?
Maybe I'll start with the Western Sydney City. Mm-hmm. It looked like City were all over it. There were moments that Western Sydney Wanderers looked quite good in. And then, of course, City, because they're so determined to play out from the back and do nothing else. Only play out from back. No, nothing else. And eventually, that it's not going to go well for you, and it did not, because Canadian goalkeeper Lizanne, is that how you say it?
I think so.
Lizanne Prue ended up passing the ball right to Western Sydney Wanderers friendly ghost Holly Caspers. Yes. And of course she immediately put it away, because it would be silly to not score that goal. And of course, Rihanna Polisena missed a penalty for City as well, which is very unlike her. But yeah, I mean, Western Sydney, you know, good for them is all I can say. Take advantage of the opportunities you get, regardless of how easily handed over they are. But yeah, so I guess unfortunate for City to drop points, but
is it?
You know, I mean, I will, to some,
we've got to keep some, it interesting. We've got to keep it interesting.
To some, it's unfortunate. But I guess, yeah, I mean, are Western Sydney Wanderers good?
Yeah.
Question mark?
Are they good now? I don't know. Jury is still out.
Mm.
We will see. And then the second game, so I was watching both of these games in my like living room with my parents, and my brother was also there, but I had like my phone watching the City Western Sydney game, and then the TV had Sydney FC Western United on, so I was kind of like, and then people, like my parents, would be shouting and I'd be like, okay, what's happening there, and then I'd be like, wait, no, something's up. I think I got the gist of both of the games, just. But the Sydney-Western game, of course, this is the home game that Western United lost, right? For the second time?
Actually, on that, Brisbane, we lost our home game, but we were not the home team on the day. So,
oh, which I oh, feel like that's an brutal. Operational thing.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I just, they got, there was a bit of a mix up or whatever. Cause I mean, they were trying to keep it to whoever the nominal home team was, for example, with Wellington and Central Coast Mariners. But yeah, just, yes, man, you are correct.
Drop the ball.
We were sort of chanting about that right from the beginning, but you know.
Good for you, as you should. As you should. No, so Western United, Sydney FC also was a good game, really end-to-end sort of stuff for the first, I guess, 60-ish minutes. And then we saw, I think it was around the 60th minute she got subbed in. I might be wrong.
Right.
Courtney Vine made her return for Vine time. There was a cute little cut on the feed to show like one random fan standing there with a sign said Vine time, and they got their Vine time. They really did. The goal was really nice, but now that I'm like seeing it in my head again, I can't think of how to describe it. I don't know. The ball kind of came in, goalkeeper came out to try and collect, but Courtney was there first and kind of chopped it over goalkeeper. Wasn't that Beale-y good from Hilary Beale? Yes, no. Kind of forced that one there, didn't I?
Not your best work.
No, it's not. But you know, you gotta, like you said, you gotta buy a ticket at the raffle. You gotta buy a ticket at the raffle to win. But yeah, no, Western looked good. Chloe Legazzo looked very good as well. I don't know if she's now knocking on the door for the Matildas, all things considered. I think she should be, but we'll see. Yeah, no, the Courtney Vine goal was very, very nice. I think Western should be, you know, a bit cut that they didn't get a draw out of it, at least.
Yep. There was that Jada Wyman leg.
That one, yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, that was good. I mean, it was a good shot, and like, I can't remember who shot, but it was excellent save.
It was. I mean, I feel like that was one of those moments where it's like a really good shot, but also a really good save, so you can't really be mad.
Yeah.
Either way, it's like really good. Who gets mad at really good goalkeeping?
Yeah.
No one. But yeah, that was
not me.
That was it. yeah. So good to see Courtney Vine back out doing what she does.
And also the ball from Princess Abini, I think, was excellent.
That was the one. Was
she just
gorgeous.
Yeah. It stood off Princess just enough, and she saw the gap and had one of the fastest players in the league to aim for. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's a factor that Courtney could just come on as a sub, and maybe Hilary Beale thought she could beat some other player to it. But probably she could have, but not Courtney Vine.
Not Courtney Vine.
No, definitely.
Also,
not.
The experience at the stadium, well, completely bizarre. I left my home and it was pouring with rain after the public transport journey there. I get to Allianz Stadium. The sun comes out. It really comes out. And suddenly I'm looking for my sunglasses and I'm slapping on sunscreen. It was really humid. It was, yes, yeah, think again. I mean, that's what I said earlier. It affected the pace of the game. Also, imagine there's Simon and Bonnie from Victory Vikings, Teddy and Alex from Matilda's Active Support got their very first experience at watching Tori Tumuth play. And yes, the emphatic
like
hand
at the
clapping.
End when you were like, I think you missed what happened. It was right at the very end, and there was some lovely Tumuth just gamesmanship when a fan threw the ball back onto the pitch when Weston were ready for their throw in, and she just went, I'm not kicking that ball anywhere. Somebody needs to come and take it off the pitch.
Because it is not in my interest to move this ball off the field. What?
Excellent.
Also,
there was a red card right at the end of the game as well.
Ante Juric.
Yeah. I can't recall. I think it was for speaking to a ref after the game, but he was carded. So.
Yes. And we would assume he will miss the midweek game between Sydney and Central Coast at Leichhardt Oval. Oh, I'm going to go back there again. I don't know whether that means
stimulating the sister economy.
Yes, it is. And you know who likes this? The Orange Grove Hotel. That's who likes this decision. But
the other highlight of the day for me was I met Mel Buttle. Because she turned up behind us, and I was like, yay, this is exciting.
See, it really is. The unity is the friends you made along the way.
Yep.
It is.
I've always said this.
Yeah. And actually, I also had a quick chat with Robbie from Sydney FC Media after the game. Because he put Tori in the lineup, Sydney lineup graphic. I loved it. He acknowledged it. Abby Lemon almost scored a couple of times. He also acknowledged that. See, making friends. And they're also, yes, it's interesting. And I mean, Western girls did their best, but you did kind of feel for Tyler J. Vlinich in the opening 60 minutes of the game, having to deal with the physicality of Tori Tumuth and Aidan Keane on the same side of the field. So that's like, but hey.
What can you do?
What can you do? Pray. You can. Your options are pray, and I think she did all right in the end. But although, I think all the Dub fans actually saw me. There was this one point where Aidan Keane had the ball. Tori tried to run in support. And then I just said, "Don't run into each other." And then they lost the ball. I was like, "Well, so." But you know, they've got plenty of time to iron out those little kinks, and you know, another game in a couple of days. Also, just going back to Wanderers versus Melbourne City. By the way, the Wanderers are in the top four, and they do not have Denise O'Sullivan. What's happening? I don't understand.
Is this the first time that Western Sydney have been in the final? Have been in the top four since they made the finals?
If you put in a caveat of after a certain number of rounds,
after a certain amount of I'd have to look into that. I might have a look into that.
It's got. I mean, it's definitely from around the 50% mark of the season onwards, definitely the first time since they made the 2019-2020 finals. But even then, City, there was this one moment. I mean, they went from back to front through the Wanderers defensive structure, and Amina Ekic hit the crossbar. And Wanderers keeper Kaylee Collins was pretty much closer to Parramatta Station than her own goal line. So a bit of a let off there, but you need that in football. Ooh, that was, yeah. Now, I don't know. It's now that we've had a Unite round, I mean, we've kind of discussed this already. Is there, what would we improve for next year? Besides, I assume, time of the year.
My improvement would be me not being already busy so I can actually attend. So.
Smart. Look after you first.
I have to agree. The beauty of Magic Round in the NRL is that you know when the draw comes out, when Magic Round will be. And therefore, you can plan your annual leave and your flights and your work and all that kind of stuff around it. And we only found out about this, 8 weeks ago? Not long ago. People couldn't, I mean, it was great that there were so many Canberra fans there on the weekend, but that's also not very far for them. Same with Newcastle. Yeah. It's an hour and a half down the freeway. I think next year, just tell us at the start of the season, tell us when the draw drops, which is usually August, September. So even if Unite round is in the first 6 weeks of the season, we've still got a run up to that. Yeah. I think that's one thing. And the other thing is, as much as I love it, I would probably reconsider Leichhardt, I just don't think that, it's a great vibe and all that kind of stuff, but it's really lacking in terms of facilities.
Yep.
It's perfect for a single A-League women's game or an FA Cup game or an Australia Cup game. But as soon as there's more than 2,500 people there, 3,000 people there, it just turns into an absolute bin fight. And if, I mean, I don't want to harp onto it too much, but if you live out west, public transport there is an absolute nightmare. You've got to go all the way into the city before you can come all the way back out, unless you want to get a bus. I think that, you know, we have these multi-million dollar stadiums. You know, we spent $750 million on Moore Park and $500 million on Parramatta Stadium, and this is what they should be used for.
Yeah. Yes, I agree.
Other than that, I think if you have to have two I think maybe you could have three games on the Saturday, something like that. But like other than that, I think there was plenty of room for there's plenty of reason to hope. Like it was all things considered, it was pretty well put on.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, because of contracts, it'll be in Sydney again, Sydney for the next couple of years. So apologies to everyone else for their Sydney supremacy and scheduling. But just when the time comes, I will dump a silly amount of money on a W night round in Melbourne or Brisbane or Perth. What if we all went to New Zealand? Like, just... I'm full of ideas, but I'm trying to give people money.
Doesn't have one rectangular stadium, let alone three. Well, so let's do our best. Melbourne would be great. You could have it at like Lakeside and Park.
Yeah. Lakeside's got good accessibility. Even I know how to get there via public transport.
I mean, if they really wanted to make it kind of uniting, they could just play some games in Gosh's Paddock. Just surround Gosh's Paddock with... Just surround Gosh's Paddock with bleachers. Put up some tarps.
Oh, dear.
It'll be fine. And Melbourne Victory train there. It's good enough for them. It's good enough for me.
I think the other thing that I think would have been fun would have been to keep all of the dub games together. I would have liked to have. I went to the Moore Park game for the Sunday match, but I got a little bit of FOMO missing out on City and Wanderers, so I think it would have been nice to sort of cater to those fan groups. Because it was good vibes, sort of having that sort of mini World Cup with all the fans coming together. So I only really experienced the men's with the second game on the Sunday as well. So I don't really have an opinion how it went for the late A-League men's, but I think there's promise there, and if you still run it over a few days, you can still cater towards scheduling the men's and women's teams of the different fan groups on different days, so that people can still go and see all of their club games, but then maybe cater towards the league or that they're more interested in. So
I think it can't end with four teams not from the host city.
It was pretty there was basically no one at the end of the men's,
because Brisbane Newcastle men's in Sydney is big curtain raiser vibes for whatever it is that large numbers of people want to watch. Although,
and not many of the Sydney dub fans hung around for that game.
No.
Oh, no.
You've got MacArthur, like if you've got MacArthur at Western City, like if you've got MacArthur at Parramatta, you've got a direct train line from, me and MacArthur have a direct train line to both stadia, but like you've got a direct train line to Parramatta, you've got a direct train line from the Central Coast and Newcastle into the city. So like you can effectively make that, like you can make that work with MacArthur and Western Sydney. And then, as you say, you just have to have, a local team on the last day. Which again, to compare it to the NRL is Sunday is always like, Friday night is always the big first night fever.
Yep.
Saturday is like you're kind of building up to it. That's when you usually get the most trouble in terms of Yahoos in the stadium.
Yep.
But Sunday is always very sedate.
would be the way that I would describe it.
And I think that this was, in saying that though, the games this weekend in the men's league were absolutely buck wild. It didn't affect anything on the pitch, but like in the stands, it was very it was very relaxed.
And digress to the men's, but the final game at Parramatta on Sunday was the distance derby, Perth versus Wellington. So shout out to everyone who enjoyed the novelty of watching a distance derby in Parramatta. And this is where I just like to say that I have watched a distance derby in Rudy Hill on a Monday night.
I was going to say, it's very COVID energy.
That was the That was a strange fixture, but anyway, but I will just before I ask you for perhaps any takes you have on the next week of fixtures, it's time for my favorite segment, Tweets Praising Tori Toomuth. Shout out to at VegemiteFC. Once again, Tori Toomuth was phenomenal. She is such an asset to the team and consistently performs outstandingly. Yes, B. Yes, she does. So, and then from at CatleyStan7, in response to me saying, if Tori Toomuth isn't relevant, you're having the wrong conversation. They said, the day Tori Toomuth gets her first Matilda's cap and squad number, you, me, and at VegemiteFC are going bankrupt. Yes, we are. Now, upcoming dub fixtures, as I said, Wednesday 17th, 7 p.m, Sydney versus Central Coast Mariners at Leichhardt. And then the next weekend, 3 on the Sunday, we got 5 p.m. is Canberra versus Victory at MacKellar Park, and then Melbourne City versus Wellington. Melbourne City, wait, are they playing that at a new venue that hasn't been used before? Or no, don't mind me.
It might be at Preston.
Preston, yeah. All right. And then the late Saturday game, Perth versus Brisbane. So Madge more staying up late to do. Then 3 on Sunday, Western United versus Adelaide, City versus Newcastle, again at Leichhardt Oval, and Central Coast Mariners versus Western Sydney Wanderers in Gosford. Does anyone have any particular thoughts on that slate of games, or what stands out to them?
Any takes? I think that Canberra might be coming back to earth with a great thud on Saturday afternoon, unfortunately.
Victory fans are not super confident about how their team's playing at the moment. So
yeah, Victory have been very up and down.
This looks like a round where it's kind of the teams that are in good positions consolidate themselves, and the teams that are teetering might feel a bit of pain. So it'll be interesting to see if there's how it plays out, because looking at those fixtures, it could be a kind of round that might start separating that pack a little bit.
Yeah, can't disagree with that, to be honest. And it's kind of funny, because like Wellington, I can see they've played very well but not got the results that they deserve, and I feel like they're the kind of team that can get a result against City, and it's the same kind of vibe for like Central Coast and Western Sydney. Like that's really a throw at the dartboard, to be perfectly honest.
And then even Sydney, Newcastle. I mean, Sydney haven't been putting anyone away, and Newcastle could get a few of those sneaky goals in.
And you've always a chance if you've got the best forward on the field. Newcastle will have the best, or the most, at the very least, the most informed forward in the field on Sunday. That Mariners Wanderers game feels like, I mean, both teams set up, they got good defensive structure. Might be a case of who blinks first. We love, the dub loves a high-scoring game. I don't think that'll be a high-scoring game. But, so, anyway, let's go looking more internationally. The Guardian released their famous top 100 over the last week. So, let me count that list. Is that 8 Aussies in the list? Kari Cooney-Cross, Hayley Russo, Mackenzie Arnold, Steph Catley, Ellie Carpenter, Mary Fowler, Caitlin Ford, and Sam Kerr. Firstly, I liked Evie's take. Sam Kerr is so consistently second best in the world that she's first. That's the kind of thinking we like here at Beyond 90. But if people have had a chance,
there should be like a weighted average of
award. Well, I mean,
it's pretty tough. I mean, it's every year it happens. It's like I'm never that anti the person who's ever named number one in any of these lists or awards, but it's just Sam being there either 2 or 3 all the time, definitely speaks to her impact over the span of her career.
And is anything else that stood out in terms of the list? I mean, I'm just going to say Katie McCabe was 30th, and we are so proud of our captain. But a couple of, I mean, shall we say World Cup picks? I think, obviously. Yeah. It's a World Cup year, so certain players get boosted by that, you know, 1 month thing. That always happens. But it's obviously, we've linked to it if you want to see it. But yeah, I mean, I've said this before, but I mean, for someone who has very recent memories of watching Kari Cooney-Cross play for Blacktown Spartans in NPL New South Wales, still wild to me that she's on a list like this. But yeah,
it is also interesting for me that Mary Earps is ninth, and I believe the only goalkeeper in the top 50, which is, I mean, she was very good at the World Cup. Oh, it's her and Christiane Endler. Endler's 49, so, I mean, but still, I mean, Earps is arguably the best goalkeeper in the world, but is she the ninth best player in the world? I mean, look, this is voted on by the football viewing media type, so I'm not going to doubt cast aspersions on their judgment, but it is, I mean, again, as you say, that does feel a little bit like a World Cup pick, considering that she was Golden Glove winner this season. But again, that is the biggest tournament of the season, so it's what most people are watching.
Yeah. And I mean, this is, I'm stealing his point, but I can't remember from who. Because obviously visibility of players matters, so it becomes Eurocentric, or at least players based in Europe. This hurts Japanese players, I think.
Oh,
particularly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so obviously by this is by no means a perfect list, but still interesting to look at.
I mean, Salma Paraguayo being at number three, is very strange, but look, she's good and fast and she scores goals. So who am I to say that they're wrong? Also, just for the record, we were mentioning, is this game being held, the City game being held at a different stadium? It is being held at the City Football Academy at Casey Fields. So it is actually, it's their first ever competitive match at Casey Fields at the new project.
Okay,
so good for them, I say. We got Melbourne City having a women's game before Western United have a finished stadium. So
yeah,
good for them, I say.
I dare say a lot of things will happen before Western United have a finished stadium. But
yeah, so, hate death of the universe at this stage.
Yes. Also, Melbourne City women's home game. Now I'm just hoping that, unlike a certain other venue, that the camera position is in the same suburb as the field, because
I remember
it was last year, that venue where it zoomed, it didn't. I saw they came back from the halftime break with the camera not zoomed, and my goodness,
yeah,
well done to that camera operator, because I didn't know how far away they were. But
amazing that you could get 500% zoom on such a small camera.
And high quality zoom.
Yeah, it's very good.
Circumstances. Now, I'll mix up the order of what we've got in our pod notes a little bit, but because we mentioned Western United home games. Actually, I don't know. That's not linked to Western United. Just the tweet mentions Western United, but then what do I do there? Anyway, Adelaide are set to play a Wednesday afternoon game in Wellington. So big ouch for the Reds, but Wellington are missing home games. Oh, sorry, are rescheduling home games to avoid clashing with Oceania Olympic qualifiers. So Wellington's hosting Adelaide, moved from Sunday, February 11th to Wednesday, March 20th. Tweet by Philip Rollo says a 5 p.m. kickoff. I assume it's 5 p.m. and not 3 p.m. as the official A-League's website.
It is a 3 p.m. Australian time kickoff.
Oh, Australian time. Okay, that's why I got confused. Time. You'd think I'd know time zones by now. No, apparently not.
Yes.
And then, so Wellington trying to move the February 18 game against Western United too, as well. So, international away trips.
I mean, and they're going to have players coming back from all over the world as well. So, similar to us, but I mean, they're going to be playing Vanuatu or whoever. So, you kind of feel for Adelaide in that sense.
Yeah, that's very rough, and especially Adelaide, not having a great season in Western United, in the thick of the finals race. So that's gonna have a big impact on those two teams. Now, this broke just before we started recording. Gary Van Egmont, who at the time of recording has the Jets in sixth place, will be leaving Newcastle's head coaching role to work for the Chinese FA. So I think Dale and I had the first thought, chase that bag, Gary. But
yeah,
I did say off mic to Dale and others that it's rough on Newcastle. They're finally in the top half, and this happens, and something disruptive as this happens. I mean, I mean, as we all people know, I want to be critical. I don't know what Newcastle could have done about this, because if big money comes in, and we know China's got a lot of it, there's nothing they can do about that.
Well, it's
really,
it's not just that China have a lot of it. It's that Newcastle Jets are owned by three separate A-League clubs.
Remember that
they don't have an owner at the moment. They are jointly owned. So, like, if, I mean, I if Gary was offered like a large bag of sorghum and four goats, like that's probably more money than Newcastle Jets have at the moment. So I don't really, like, as you say, like, what can you do?
If a CFA representative had said, Gary, we will offer you the loose change in the back of this couch. And Gary's like, where do I sign? I mean, just diving head first into it.
$20 can buy many coaches. But yeah, it's pretty rough. Like, it's nice that he got to coach Emily again, but yeah it's rough on the other players.
Yeah, so I wonder if this will be the end then of Emily Van Egmond's random stints in Australia if he's not there.
What is the surf like in China? Because she does not play anywhere where there's no surf. Mm-hmm. So, do they have fake surf parks?
Probably.
I mean, the
I feel like
Chinese
they would.
Do have a decent women's league. So, you know, she could get a gig over there.
Yeah, so. So, I mean, time for M to research coastal Chinese clubs.
Yeah.
We go from there. So the article I linked to, assistant coach Ryan Campbell immediately promoted to head coach. Ryan Campbell also taking responsibility for emerging Jets until a replacement is found. So that's football. You know, you can't always anticipate your coaching changes. Also, I mean, I think we've talked about player welfare in this in the past. Just something that I thought really caught my eye over the past week. Ashley Sanchez was shocked and heartbroken to be being traded away from DC, Washington mm-hmm. Spirit to mm-hmm. North Carolina Courage. I thought of that once again. Yeah, at the NWSL, players get traded without their knowledge, which is not good for player welfare.
No.
Especially as we've already discussed with women's rights differing wildly in different states of America.
So yeah.
That's a tough
Carolinas one. Is a very different part of the world to DC.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, the Carolinas is the reason that DC is the capital, but that's enough Civil War
history. Yeah, that's if people want to learn up on the history of the United States, that will be at your own leisure. We should not discuss this.
Yeah, we will not be doing that. There is a tweet that Eric put in here about us another Washington move.
Jonathan Giraldez.
Yeah, Jonathan Giraldez moving to moving to Washington Spirit. That's funny. Someone had to sit this poor bloke down and explain to him what allocation money is.
Oh, God.
Dale also had to explain it to me, by the way, which is
effectively a transfer fee, but within a salary cap. And that's the thing with the Sanchez move is that she was traded away for a draft. She wasn't traded for a player. She was traded for a draft pick and for money. So like at least I got a fee, but yeah, as you say.
They also
I can't
have to
remember
explain
what, was
to
it
him
from...
what the draft even is.
Yes, which is the other tweet.
It's like
Giraldez pulling a face. And the caption, little Jonah, after he learns that Washington traded their best defender for something called a draft pick.
Yeah.
You can just imagine him saying, ¿qué?
The Spanish not known for their love of the draft, so we'll let that go.
Oh my god.
but yeah, it's tough. And the other thing as she said, her Instagram post is that she was shocked. There are countless instances of MLS and NFL. NFL is the most famous one of players being traded and then basically being called in for a meeting with their coach and being told to pack their bags and move halfway across the country. So,
and baseball as well.
Yep, baseball as well.
With the added caveat of, because they play almost every day.
Yeah. There
are a couple of people that play for two teams in the same day in Major League Baseball history. But.
And they have different rules in those two competitions.
They're in the two halves of the comp.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So
the only saving, it's just what makes it 10 times worse for the women is that, like, at least the men are getting compensated.
Oh, yeah.
More.
Yeah. $700 million for the best player.
Yeah. That can compensate for us.
Yes.
for a bit.
That's a very big U-Haul to move you from one side of LA to the other.
I hope it works out well for Ashley. Oh, my other thought was this trade now had Courage fans panicking. Why are we bringing in Ashley Sanchez? And they started panicking about the recent rumors that Denise O'Sullivan may be going to the WSL in England. So, but Obviously, this podcast will keep track of that and let you know if something happens in that space. Now,
we'll be live tweeting from Denise signing any contract.
I will be live tweeting whatever custom WSL jersey it is that I am buying next. So Del mentioned that my spicy tweets are favorite segment. I mean, at Vegemite FC in it again. I mean, we covered this topic, but with regards to the Western United Sydney FC game, this one mother kept calling the players slack for leaving and not coming to the section we were in. Maybe they've just played a full game and are exhausted and don't want to deal with your bratty kids. The entitlement is crazy. And similar things with Chids at Victory Perth. That was...
Something very odd.
Yeah, that was odd. Asking for players' socks. Why?
And...
Yeah.
Not only, well, there was that was the kids, but then also pushing food into players' faces.
I saw
that happening from a distance, but then when I actually chatted to people, I thought the person knew Chids and was holding an ice cream for her. No, apparently not.
Oh, that's
very, very odd. Anyway, don't do that.
I didn't think it needed to be said, but yes,
it does, right. Apparently.
Don't do that. Oh, God. I mean, I'm sick of that topic. Papier stuff. There's that Catley stand 7 again. Chelsea announced Natalie Bjørn, and they said, feel like you guys missed out an opportunity to say Bjørn to be a blue. Yeah, they did. Mm-hmm. Good work. And finally, this topic. We love coming back to this topic. Someone quote-tweeting a Lioness's tweet saying, New Year is... new challenges. Here's what to look out for from the Lionesses in 2024. And at Vandenonk FC said, not the Olympics, that's for sure.
Very good.
That is brilliant. Oh, that. Stay tuned for future episodes where I'm sure we will rub it into England's faces again.
I do love that it was, I'm assuming, a Dutch fan that...
Yes.
I
hope
looking
so.
Looking at the handle.
Yeah, the handle. Although, I mean, it could just be a big Daniel Vandenonk fan.
Yes.
But I mean, the main thing is they were rubbing it in. They were enjoying that England didn't make the Olympics. That's the most important thing. It unites all but one country. Now, I don't know. After the weekend we had, I don't think we were that keen to try and watch the FA player with a VPN. But the FA Cup fourth round in England happened overnight. So, friend of Beyond 90, Angela Christian Wilkes, with the most important take. Congratulations to Katrina Gori on her first start and first yellow card for West Ham. Well done, Katrina. First of many as West Ham are in a relegation battle.
That's the kind of quality they would expect.
Yes, that's, I mean, you need to make an impact. You need to let them know you're there, as per the old saying.
A physical impact.
Yes. Also, Mackenzie Arnold also got booked in West Ham's extra time cup loss to Chelsea, but Arnold also set up a goal, and there were the tweets going around this morning reminiscing of the time Mackenzie Arnold played in midfield in a cup game.
Oh, God.
Those photos. I don't want to see her bare hands. I should not.
Yes.
I should not be able to see Mackenzie Arnold's bare hands on a football.
It's like seeing Mickey Mouse.
Put those away.
Yes.
Put them away.
So, are you now okay with it if she goes for the Mary Fowler solution and plays in the outfield?
No.
Okay, I'm sorry. No. I'm sorry for suggesting. But also, West Ham, like, they almost had Chelsea as well. So, yeah, it's a bit of a scrape there for the Blues. But that was Katrina Gori's club debut. Charlie Grant also made a club debut. And Tottenham Hotspur had to come back from 2-0 down to defeat Sheffield United 3-2. What else there? Tegan Micah, full game and a clean sheet as Liverpool beat Bristol City. Love to see that. Game time for Claire Wheeler and for Dale's Everton. And, did you see that coming? Everton beating Villa 3-0?
I think Villa put out a fairly weak team, if I recall correctly. But I will also take a win. Yes. We are in need of them now that we have just sold one of our best players to Chelsea. So, but we got roughly 100 grand for Bjørn. So, move.
Yep. And Mary Fowler came off the bench and scored as Man City beat Durham. So that's good stuff. Of course, full details in the show notes. I actually did them for once about Aussies abroad. Don't know what else is there. I mean, Jacinta Galabarashti set up a goal as Sporting Portugal drew 1-0 with Damaiense, but it's pretty much standard, pretty easy victory for Hayley Russell's Real Madrid against Real Betis. But yeah, full details are there. Oh, and just Ellie Carpenter to play two full games in a week. Of course she did. Now, I think unless I've missed something, we good for Queens, Kings, and Emperors of the week?
Yep.
Okay, so Madge, you can go first one. I mean, it's a couple of obvious choices this week, but of course, they're good choices.
It doesn't mean it's a bad choice. Yeah. I think that definitely counts for this week. But yeah, mine's Tamika Yallop. She hit her 150th A-League women's dub game. I think I don't have it in front of me, but maybe the seventh around. No, I don't think 10 people, but yeah, not many people have hit the 150. She's been around since the beginning. Most of it at Brisbane Roar, that one season at Melbourne City as well. But considering she's been out of the season, or so out of the league as well, sort of playing overseas a little bit, just shows her longevity in the league. Just a legend, and yeah, great to see these players who've seen or been like a huge part of the reason that the league has flourished and women's football in the country has flourished, sort of hit these sorts of milestones. I think we saw Grace Maher hit 100 games as well this round. And
there was a pregame thing, by the way. Sorry to interrupt, but there was a pregame.
There was like,
she walked out after the rest of her Western United teammates for a round of applause. I like that. I didn't expect that.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah, no, I think that was really nice. And then I was a little bit miffed that Tamika didn't have something similar for such a huge milestone. Yeah. So, I mean, the Raw call, we had sort of put some posts out sort of knowing that this milestone was coming up. So a little bit disappointed that the leagues and the club didn't make sure that a bigger deal wasn't made of such a great milestone. But, yeah, so, you know, one of the foundation players and, one of those key players responsible for the league being where it is now. So, yeah, great to see that.
Yep. I will divert from the dub just for my Queens of the League. Don't worry, I'm not doing everything that's in the pod notes, everyone. I'll just keep this moving. But I talked about the futsal national champs last week. So shout out to Football New South Wales Thunder. They defeated Football Queensland Maroon in extra time to win. So Football New South Wales going back-to-back in the women's national futsal champs. Special shout out to Daisy Arishman for scoring the opener. Trudy Camilleri, aka the Maltese Maestro, for scoring the winner. And Sarah Eastope saved a penalty in extra time. So yes, well done to us. Now, back to the dub. And Emma, you have chosen another Queenslander for your Queen of the Week.
Yeah, so my pick is Courtney Byrne, because it's just great to see her back on the pitch after injury and back to doing what she does best, which is ruining the lives of defenders by just being a bit too fast for them.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's sorry to bring it back to screaming kids. A lot of that at Allianz, but at least the kids got what they wanted with the Vine goal. So that's But yeah, it's I suppose the A-League's got what they wanted with Vine kind of topping off the scoring in the United's round as well. But sorry to bring it down with the cynicism. But yeah, well done. Well done to Courtney. And Dale, you've got the most obvious choice possible. We'll save the best for last, though.
It's Michelle Hyman, the queeniest queen of the week. The best thing to come out of Shell Harbour since the Princess Highway bypass. Yeah, she's a good egg. never heard a bad word about her, and I'm glad that she's finally getting the kudos and the adulation that she deserves. Obviously she's been a big inspiration for many people on and off the pitch, and may there be many more goals to come.
Many more. And it's so fitting that someone who could teach a class called Goal Scoring 101 now has 101 goals to her name.
Very good.
Yes.
We got there in the end.
Did. I did get there. Thanks, Dale. And I think that is it. So thanks for your support once again on whatever platform you choose to listen to our dulcet tones. So on behalf of Emma Burke, Magella Card, and Dale Roots, this is Eric Sabihano signing off for episode 182 of the Beyond 90 podcast. Wishing you plenty of good vibes, great coffee, sick tattoos, wrestlers, and plenty of meetups with your interstate and international football friends. See you next time.